Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show.
Yeah, I'm Leo.
I'm Laya.
And Lila. And we got started a little late here, we're sorry. Our guest tonight is George Dixon, who's on the line. So we'll put him right on. Hey, George. You with us?
How you doing?
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm fine.
We got started a little late there. Sorry, guys.
We hope you weren't waiting too long for us.
No, not really. I knew you guys would be along sooner or later.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're here.
Well, that's
How
great.
Are you doing there? How are you feeling tonight? Pretty good?
I'm feeling much better, thank you. I'm sorry I missed out last week.
That's all right.
We're just glad you're better.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. You know, sometimes you have it, sometimes you don't. But, you know, I just try to keep going the best I can in here.
Oh, you sound very good.
Well, thank you. It's the American Medical Association that keeps me together, I guess. Or should I say that?
Oh, that's okay. Whatever it takes, I'm glad you're well. That's all
whatever
we care.
Whatever does it, yeah.
Whatever does it, we're happy.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Well, Merry Christmas. Yeah. Christmas right around the corner here.
Oh, I know. Amazing, isn't it? Seems to be coming so quickly.
It is. This whole year just flew by.
Yeah. Very, very fast. You had a specific topic you wanted to talk about, Leo said.
Yeah, you mentioned something about the
holiday season, and understanding Christmas, you know, it's something that I often wonder, you know, what it's all about. And I think, you know, from a standpoint of the position of our Earth in our solar system, I mean, the winter solstice says it all. And at that time, actually, our Earth stops in its axis change. And when I say it stops going forward and it goes backwards. Or it goes backwards and goes forward again. But, you know, in between that time it goes forward or backwards is about 3 days. And it takes the Earth 3 days or so forth for it to move again. So the ancients used this time as a rebirth. And, you know, I don't think Christ was born on December 21st. But I think it's a time of the year where, you know, the Venetians, they celebrated it at that time. And a lot of different religions used that time for the rebirth, just like rebirth of Krishna and Zeus. But it is a Christian time that's used for the rebirth period, and that's where the Christo manifestation comes in. Well, you know, Leo, this goes way back to the precession of the equinox. Every 26,000 years or so, we go away from our light source, and then we return to empty space. And it's the change in us and the change in our culture, our consciousness. And the last time we had a change like this was going back about 12,000 years ago.
Really?
Yes.
What kind of a change are we talking about here?
Well, there was a shift in not only the axis, but also in the direction of the spin of the Earth. And what happened in 9772 BC is this is what happened, that the Earth actually stopped and went in the opposite direction. And this happens from time to time. And, you know, you can go back 14, 25 million years where it's shown, I mean, the evidence from the Earth has shown that this is what happens. The polarization, I think, of the metal filings and so forth. I'm not a science man myself, but there is evidence of it. And it's just another period that we went through 12,000 years ago. And when that happened, it affected us. It affected the way we live. It affected our planet.
Yeah. So tell me something, George. If it goes, when the Earth turns backwards, okay, Why don't we notice the effect?
Well, for the same reason you don't notice the spinning of the Earth.
If it turns backwards, you'd think there'd be a something, you know, would change. You know what I mean?
There's a change in the electrical flow. That's one thing. I mean, we live in a physical world, three-dimensional world, and it just so happens the physics that make us up also includes electromagnetics. Now, what's happened then and what's happening right now is the magnetics of the Earth is lessening. And actually, we're becoming smaller. And what's happening is that the magnetics of the Earth, the North and the South Poles, happening is that the magnetic is shifting from south to north, from north to south. And what happened is, I think I've explained this before on the show, that picture, you know, the Earth as a giant hard drive in your computer. And it's the magnetic energy that holds the memory of the Earth and the memory of the Earth itself. And what happened is that you have a time where the magnetics of the Earth and of the hard drive actually goes blank. Erase the memory. Nothing's there to hold the memory. So what's happened is that you start back up again, you know, and you build a magnetic energy field to draw from. But what happens is that when you have these shifts and these changes, this is what happens. And this is exactly what's happening right now in our solar system, not only our planet, but also the other planets and the sun in our solar system. And the sun has also taken an evolutionary change that, you know, that's a different subject. But keeping with the Earth right now, what happened when this happened the last time is that we went into, the Dark Ages of man, where we lost our memory, and the only memories we had to bank on or to use is those basic skills that we're born with, basic instincts for survival. And for, 10, 15,000 years after that polar shift, I mean, we became cave people, if you'd want to call it that. We would eat meat. We would even eat ourselves. And it was the Egyptians that tried to civilize us, you know, the Egyptians is just one civilization that tried to civilize, you know, our nature. And that is actually teaching us, you know, first of all, we don't have to eat our own. But second of all, it was at that time where we were able to learn again the accomplishments or the knowledge that we had from before, but it wasn't something that was openly openly had. It's something that we had to learn. We had to read. It was something internal, and that's the only way we communicated with the outside world, because there was a shut off between the mind and the body.
That is so strange, you know. That we would lose all that. But what happens now? I mean, what's going to happen now? We're going to go through that same thing, and now it's even worse because you got so much information on electromagnetic discs and things. And
who's to say they didn't too?
Well, yeah. I'm sure they might have. But I mean, if it goes through this period, then you know, well, I mean, for us to go back to caveman days would be really tough.
You're right, Leo. You know, for so long I was trying to get some kind of an idea how to protect myself, first of all, but also, you know, protect people from, you know, this onslaught of being mentally erased. And from, you know, some of the old writings, they talk about how they got away from this is they shield themselves Gilles himself somehow in the earth. Excuse me. And second of all, they were able to go off planet with us, and they weren't affected by this magnetic arrays.
Wow.
But, you know, something I learned, you know, with, I think, working with sacred geometries and trumbolos from years past, is that, you know, you have a Merkaba, you have an energy field, and this energy field can protect you, you know, from an onslaught of, let's say, a wiping of the knowledge. And Merkaba is an energy field around all living things. And in controlling controlling this Merkaba or this energy field, you would be able to protect yourself, but also go on with your normal state of consciousness.
This is just one way
of protecting yourself from this onslaught of what is about to happen here. And you know, I really feel that there's something more to it than this. I mean, just a Merkaba field is not going to protect you. It's going to protect you, yeah, on a three-dimensional platform. But you know, once you go outside this three dimensions, even electromagnetic energy is no good for you, because the subtle energy that we would be using would be different.
I don't really understand what will become, but it's like if he wipes out all memory, then you know we don't even recognize ourselves. You know? Does that make any sense or not?
Yes and no. First of all, you know, what realm are we talking about? Which dimensional reality are we on? And understand that this three-dimensional reality that we live in right now is not a permanent thing. It's a temporary thing. And part of understanding this ascension, you know, or raising to a different dimensional reality is getting off this three-dimensional vehicle, if you want to call it that. And understanding time is a product of the three dimension, because once you leave this three dimension, there is no time.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I'm sorry, George, we had a visitor there. All right, so yeah, go ahead. I lost what we were saying there, sorry.
So, you know, it's like, I don't know what the hell to think, Leo. Lila, what do you think about the whole mess?
I'll be right back. I have a guest.
Okay.
Somebody just came in the door, so we had to excuse herself. So I didn't expect to be interrupted there. But something about what? Third dimensional what?
In three-dimensional reality, you know, this is not permanent. This is something that is an evolutionary schooling, if you want to call it that. I think part of this ending of this time is ending of, this evolutionary growth that we're on right now.
All right. What happened to the... I think you wanted to talk about the seventh day, or seventh night, or seventh day, or whatever it was that we're entering now. How does that play with all this, George? How does that coincide with the what we've been talking about?
I think as we think right now, you know, we are producing that. We are producing our thoughts more than we think we are. The world around us, I mean, you know, we wake up every day and we have the same routines we go to. But I think I have more control over the things that are going on in my life than I had, you know, a week ago or a month ago. And,
I feel like I have less control this week than I had last week.
Huh?
You know? Yeah. I feel like I have less control this week than I had 2 weeks ago. So it's like I kind of like, I don't know. Every time that I get new information and have to absorb it, it takes me a while, you know. I feel like I just read another book today, and last couple of days, and I kind of devoured that, and then, you know, I've been working with a secret doctrine as well, and all these other things, but I find that I get to a point where, I mean, it's humbling to learn stuff, you know. It's even now, it's humbling to hear this stuff, because some of it just doesn't quite compute with me, you know what I mean? And I have questions that would be normal, I guess, for most people. But the further, it seems like the more I learn about things, the more humble I become, because it's like I didn't know that. I didn't know this. I didn't know that. Or how could I be so wrong in this? And how could I be so right in that, but wrong in this, you know? Learning is a very humbling experience to me. It used to be more fun, but over the years it's become more of a humbling experience, because I
realize you don't know everything, huh?
Whoa, man! I mean, I realize I don't know nothing, you know, and next to what I should know, and what I feel I should know, but at the same time,
well, you know what you do in a case like that. You punt.
Well, I do. I do that a lot. You know, I do punt a lot, and because I find that running into that major offense, or major defense rather, is ridiculous. You know what I mean? So a lot of stuff that I involve myself or learn, I find that I can't apply it. So if I can't apply it immediately in some way, either doing a show or doing something, then I have to punt, you know what I mean? Because to go further into studying it is kind of, I mean, I could study physics all day long, and I wouldn't know what the hell I was studying, all right? I could, you know, Einstein's equations and everything else. I I'm not a mathematician. My mind doesn't work in those ways. But I can read, and I can comprehend what I read. But when it gets into levels of abstract mathematics or so on, I'm totally and absolutely lost in it. So I can't, you know, and it doesn't really, I'm so used to being lost in it that I don't even involve myself with it anymore. And even with good teachers, I haven't been able to make the grade, you know.
Yeah.
So I punt in those cases. I just punt.
You punt. You make believe.
Yeah. Well, you don't make believe. You just say fuck this. You know, I had enough. You know, I'll give that to the guys who understand it. You know, and make
you know,
realize that I, you know, I bow low to people who have that ability. You know,
Leo,
talent.
No, just back it up here for a minute. You know, you say you can't make believe, but you see, you can make believe. That's the problem.
Well, I can't make that I understand it when I don't understand it. I mean, you know,
listen to me.
On a face, but you can't.
You can understand something by, of course, yes, reading in a book and getting all the particular information about it. But another way is to feel it. And that's instantaneous. That's something that you can't learn. You can learn in a book, but through your emotional body, it's instantaneous.
Well, I tell you, you know, you bring that up, and I was talking about it today when you mentioned the last night's show that I did, and I was reading the Secret Doctrine and the Second Stand. stanza, and I've realized that I was getting kind of lost in it, you know what I mean? And I was getting kind of lost in it, and I realized that it was not a I'm losing my spot here. Got interrupted again. That when I was reading it, I was getting I was absorbing it. I can understand it, but it was becoming more of an emotional.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, intellectually, I was grasping it. I understood where it was going, and I was reading notes and all this kind of stuff. But what was happening, and toward the end, I realized I was being overwhelmed by the words, being overwhelmed by the concept, and it was taking me beyond what I could translate intellectually, you know what I mean,
okay.
or even verbally.
That's great,
No, it was very weird. I didn't know if I was fading out or what, but it was just like I was reading this stuff, and it was becoming more and more intense to the point where I almost felt like I should absorb it as opposed to try to read it. It was a bizarre feeling. And
Let's stop right there for a minute.
Sure.
That is what I'm talking about. Now, there's two ways of understanding that. One is intellectually, or two, emotionally.
Right.
Now, we have been closed off from the outside world, and we've only used our mind to think or to rationalize. If we can't rationalize, we can't understand it. We put it aside. Now, the same, I learned years ago, I think with Silver Mind Control, they have a Silver Mind Method, that, you know, if I want to learn something, I could read something, but also just being close to it, I would be able to feel the emotional impact of what's in that book. And let me tell you, I get about a book every two and a half weeks here to review. And, you know, I can't go through all these books. I really can't. But, you know, what I can
do... We wind up getting at least a book a week to review.
What I will do is that I will emotionally go over that book, and, you know, if it's interesting, I'll put it on my nightstand and sleep on it for a week, you know, besides other books that I'm working on. But I can get the essence of the book through the emotional body that's, you know, emanating from that book. And, you know, just because it's all physical stuff, it has a purpose, and that purpose is what you read into from your emotional body, not your mental body. So I'm just saying that...
That happened to me. Yeah, no, it's happening to me last night because the stuff was... I mean, I got to the point where I didn't even know what I was reading, but it sounded... But I kept reading it, and I was losing... I was kind of losing the rhythm of it, and losing the words, and on certain kinds of text, I find myself doing this. And I can't help it, even on my own work sometimes. But I'll write a paragraph, or I'll write a couple of lines, and all of a sudden, as I'm reading this thing, it's just like I go into another dimension or something. I just separate from my mind. And I go into a trance almost a trance like, and then I come back. But that happened to me last night, and I found myself trancing in that in order to get through it rather than coming out. I kept trying to force myself out of the trance, but the words kept bringing me back into the trance, and so I just kind of at the end I just kind of said, you know, go with the flow, and just, you know, finished it out. But because I kept fighting that trance-like state, you know, that I was being
Leo,
drawn
that's that Christo manifestation, if you want to look at it from a religious point of view. And actually what it's doing is that it's you're shifting back into the heart, shifting into the emotional body as a vehicle. And we talked also in the procession of the equinox that this is the time for the female element of the movements in the female of strain of our of our polarity. And,
well, what
you
I
know,
like is like what I like about like when Maria was when Maria talks about
Maria
certain whenever she talks about certain subjects, she just flows with it, you know, and it just comes, and it just keeps flowing. And then she'll say to me, she'll say after, she says, you know, I re-listened to that show, she says, and I don't know where I came up with all that, you know, or people have called and said, geez, we didn't know you knew
that.
So
you
much.
Knew that.
And
yeah.
she said she herself being open
she's
to
a,
it.
She's
channel,
a vehicle.
She's a vehicle for that.
And she listens to the show and she learns it too.
It's kind of bizarre, but it's like sometimes I will go through a program, reading something, then all of a sudden it will take me off to on a tangent, but like I can speak on a subject for 15 or 20 minutes without a text because it just flows. You know what I mean? And then I have to go back and figure out what it was that I said and listen to the show after I'm finished. And 9 out of 10 times, it's pretty comprehensive and it flowed well. But
all right, now
let me stop for a minute here.
What we were talking about before, the precession of the equinox, what happens when the Earth goes in the opposite direction?
Yeah.
This basically is what happens, where the feminine energy takes over where the male energy has left over. Just like the last change, the male energy went in and everything was linear and everything was actually closed from the outside world. Now is the time that we're ending the energy, we've entered that the energy is shifting and going in the opposite direction. And this is where the female energy basically is a domineering energy. And that energy comes right from the earth, which is the physical, it's the physical properties. Because a female is the person who can reproduce where a male cannot. So that is part of the shifting of the energies from a linear to emotional. And that's what we're going through right now with this ascension process that we're talking about, the end times.
Let's talk a little more about the end times. You said you wanted to bring that up. And you believe we're kind of in that period now. We're entering it now on the seventh day.
And what signs have you seen that would make you think that we're entering the end times?
I don't know. I think it's the things that are going on around right now. Lila, I don't know. Things are going so damn quick.
Yeah.
And I've been watching WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
And it's scary, but, you know, it's real. And, you know, it's like the whole fabric of our society is being torn right open, you know, from the secrets, you know, to business and to governments. And it's scary because so many things could be upset. And there's so many things in the world that could happen right now.
WikiLeaks scares you?
Yeah, it does. I think because
I don't think it should scare you at all.
Why would it bother you though?
Why are you so upset by that?
What do you see?
I'm not upset. I wish that we could somebody could come in after winning the lottery and pay everybody and take care of this. We won't have any problems, but it's not going to happen. And it's doomed to fall. And I think right now, where are we going to take this? Where is it going to go to? And it's all going to fall completely. And I'm just
I don't think it's going anywhere, actually. From what I've seen, the press is pretty much, said it was all news and nothing really, other than a few scandals with the embassies, with the State Department.
Where somebody called somebody and...
Yeah, a name or something.
Name or something.
But
it's all pretty benign.
Yeah, but I've seen, and I posted them up on my Facebook thing, but I've seen a number of articles and a number of good articles that state that it was the CIA involvement with Assange, okay? And they were the ones that allowed it to be leaked and gave it to this guy and so on and so forth.
He had no contact with the guy.
Supposedly the guy
just sent him the stuff.
Yeah. All right.
Because
saw what it was. And then but there was no verbal or. So but how did he know about Assange? Okay. How did he know that WikiLeaks was going to do it? Because WikiLeaks hadn't done anything yet. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They had nothing.
So let's go back to the same thing.
It was, you know, and they've also connected Assange to a number of governments, the Israeli as well as the U.S. government. So, why now when they're constantly provoking Iran to go to war and all this kind of stuff, would they publish this kind of sensitive material, which is all pro-war with Iran? All right. 90% of it was all Iranian,
communications
with the Saudis and with the
saying how they want to go to war. The other thing is people like Joe Lieberman in the Senate are dying to crack down on the internet.
And Lieberman is the ultimate Zionist, you know, absolute ultimate.
He as a matter of fact stated that he liked the Chinese model.
Right.
And that's what he'd like to bring to us.
And Israel has that same model, basically. They're a completely oppressed state. They're no democracy.
Yeah.
They're full of crap.
Well, yes,
they're an occupational country.
They're a theocracy.
Yeah.
You have to be a Jew to live there and
exactly.
have any rights.
Exactly. They're completely racist bastards. And they're they're just a wicked freaking people. I mean, when you think of what they're doing to these poor Palestinians and these settlers are coming in and
I want to correct you for a minute. Not everyone in Israel feels that way.
No, but 90% of those guys
it's horrible what they're doing. It's the Zionists, and the Zionists are not all Jews.
But real Jews don't even live in Zion in there anymore. They've been branded and kicked out.
Yeah, well, that's
anybody with a reasonable brain, you know, doesn't even live there. They just want, you know, they're in the United States or some other country, and they're calling for a Palestinian truce, you know, for a truce with Palestine.
And to stop behaving like this.
And you know, it's just every day we don't even see this, George, but every day, and I see it on reports. They're in there. They're killing Palestinian kids. They're arresting kids and holding them for detention and torturing these guys for information and doing all kinds of nasty things. And these assholes in the U.S. Congress, all right, I just say, oh, we're going to give them another $3 billion, okay?
But it's like you
can't do anything with these bastards because you know they're completely corrupt. They're a Marxist state, okay, and they rule over everything. There's nothing that comes out of that country that isn't completely and utterly. Spied on, you know.
So what do you do then, Leo? What do you do now? If that's the case, what do you do?
What do you mean, what do you do?
What do you do?
What do I do?
Yeah.
Well, we hope that we won't support a regime like that.
I wouldn't give them a dime or even a decent word, all right, for that regime, all right?
Okay.
And may they crumble. And you would
hope that the people there who are reasonable could elect a democratic government and they would allow anybody of any religion to live there and flourish.
You mean the Arabs aren't allowed in, Palestinians aren't allowed in, Christians aren't even allowed in certain areas, okay? All this is only Jews, okay? Jews only, you know? And it's like crock of crap, all right? And we're supporting this tyrannical regime, all right, over there without dollars. Okay,
how long do you think this is going to go on?
We seem to support most dictators around the world. We never support. We don't seem to like to support democratically elected governments.
No, we go. What we do is we say we're going in. We're going to democratize this country. Then we put in some idiot puppet, all right? And he rules the country either with total corruption like in Afghanistan or complete chaos like Iraq. So it's like, and if we don't like what they're doing, we throw in another puppet. We rig another election, right.
That's what happened in Haiti. They had a democratically elected president, which we hijacked and took to Africa.
Yeah.
And that happened to him.
And he was loved by the, and he was democratically elected, and he was loved by the people. We didn't like him because he didn't want the U.S. presence in Haiti, okay? And he didn't want to kowtow to the U.S. military. And he wanted
I want to throw something out.
Yeah.
What happens if the energies from a thought is taken away, what holds it together?
If the energy for a thought is taken away, what holds it together?
That's right. Let's say that the thought or the understanding of a flagpole, right? There is nobody there to recognize this as a flagpole or to give it meaning, what holds that flaghole together?
Well, that's the same
as the tree in the flagpole. No, because there is no, I mean, if there was never an energy to put a flagpole up, all right, then there is no flagpole. There will be.
But what happens to the flagpole once that happens?
Once what happens?
The energy.
The energy is always there until it rots, okay?
It's cut down. It's your energy that creates that, too.
Yeah, well, tell that to the tree.
It won't rot, Leo. Energy will change its form. But what happens to it?
Like everything decays, like our bodies decay.
Yes, all right,
like,
fine. I just threw that out. What you're saying is right. Everything decays. One of the things the ancient talked about is why they built things that lasted in natural stuff is because it has a longer potential to live. Understanding in limestones, even with the pyramids, that is at one point going to, you know, erode back to natural minerals.
Well, so, that's why they use tablets and stone and stuff.
Well, I've used this analogy before that, you know, let's say the idea or the concept of a cup, a drinking cup,
mm-hmm.
If there's nobody there to recognize or to give it a meaning, the cup will not have a form. It will not hold together. And that basically is what happens with electromagnetics around the Earth, and part of the illusionary elements of this physical three-dimensional, because it's an energy source that actually bring things together, bring thoughts together, and those thoughts have form, and those form give meaning. Once you take away the meaning of it, it holds no form, and it disintegrates back into natural elements of minerals and so forth that you collect from the ground.
So
over a period of time, even though, you know, there was great civilizations from thousands and millions of years past, the reason why we don't have any evidence of that is because the thought forms or the energies holding those together are limited, very limited, and they don't exist. So they would just dissolve into natural elements.
A lot of them are hidden by so it's not out there by the mass knowledge. It's not under mass knowledge. It's very hidden, and by being hidden, it's exclusive, and you have power.
In this way, Leo. Even though they acknowledge it, but the potentials of this three-dimensional reality. I was listening to Drumbel and Melchizedek's latest videos, and he was talking about the beings, the plasma beings that live in the inner Earth. And these beings, they're like lava people. They're very hot, and they live in an environment that's like 800 degrees. You know, I've talked about the extraterrestrials that live in the inner Earth, and these are like the inner terrestrials. They're not extraterrestrials, but there are other life forms. And understanding that part of this dimensional shift that we're going through, now we've incorporated our consciousness, I think, with silicone, and we've talked about this recently. But
yeah.
Understand that what these plasma people or beings have done is attach themselves to energy fields like crystals. And understand that a crystal is a living thing, that its growth process takes in millions and millions and millions of years. So, you know, it's like we have the ability as sentinel beings to shift our body sources and so forth, where we could shift into light beings in this matter, where we would actually change from a carbon-based being to a silicone-based being, where we actually become silicone. And, you know, our life forms, our life is, will last more than 100 years. It'll last for 100 million years. But there again, it's not that we die. It's just we'll transcend, you know, our focus of being. I'm just rattling on here, but you know,
yeah.
There's so many potentials that we have in front of us right now that just the thoughts of my thoughts putting these things together give them some rational being. Compared to what's going on right now, you could replace this democracy with other forms of government. What you see, it's no good. It's all fallen apart. So what we're seeing now is it coming to an end. And right now, things have to be played out
oh.
even with, you know, the scuffles we have as neighbors and so forth, and even the idea of the second coming of Christ. These are things that must happen, and they will happen. It's part of the cycle that we're in, and this is a grand, grand cycle. And the seventh day is where things disintegrate. They just fall apart that I'm talking about, and new ones begin. So, you know, this leaks and so forth. It doesn't surprise me because it's like a match that's been lit into a fuse that's got 1,000 different connections. And you touch one, it's all going under. So, you know, it's only a matter of time. So instead of trying to save the ship, let it go. There are other things that will replace it. And I think this is what we have to look forward to. But we're able to watch it manifest. And we're going to watch it manifest from our level and our perspective, because everybody has their own view of what's going to happen. But understand, all those different views are taking place, and we'll all gravitate to those views that hold our perspective. And it's not good, it's not bad. It's just the way it is.
All you have to do is look at the Earth and see what the cycle is, and that's the way it always is. Things are born, they live, they die, and other things are born and live and die. It's just a cycle. That's what it is.
You know, Lila, you're right there. But what gives this flavoring for me is that, like, we've been living in a box for thousands, maybe millions of years, you know, in this type of existence. But, you know, it's we have a chance now to go outside the box and look at something that is something totally different that's never been offered to us before. And, you know, it's part of this dimensional reality where we're locked into a time and time cycles, and people prophesize about this and about that. But, you know, we have a great opportunity here, and it's happening in front of us. And I can see it in my own life that I am manifesting whatever I'm thinking. Wherever my heart goes, I follow. And that's part of, Leo, this thinking that I'm talking about. I can mentally think about doing this and doing that, but I found it's much easier now to not only to feel it, but also to believe it. And it's in believing that the way things are happening so quick and the options we have available, I doesn't have time to reconnect it and refiguring out, you know, should I go this way or go that way? Because that's what the mind does. It can't deal with the present. It can only deal with what had happened in the past and how to better itself in the future. But by living in the present is where the heart is, and you'll manifest a feeling, and it's instantaneous. The Indians did a rain dance, but, you know, they did a dance, and they felt the water within their toes, and it could be, 100 degrees out and dry, but they felt it. And their thoughts, their emotions brought it there because it demanded it, because it is part of the outside world. We are all part of the same light, and part of that same light and the unity we came from that we're going back to. And that is part of what we're experiencing, a unity understanding, a unity consciousness. But we're going to go outside the box, folks, so get in for a great ride. And that ride is happening right now.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, George. I think we're ready for a ride.
I'm on a hell of a ride.
Yeah.
I think we'll all experience something, but maybe people will experience what they believe is going to happen.
One.
Sure. That's true. It could be an individual thing.
That's right.
Everything is basically an individual thing when
right.
you come right down to it.
Mm-hmm.
How we react to something changes our direction or our attitudes. Like I can see something totally different than you can and turn around or walk through it or walk away from it. You can see it the same thing and be attracted or not to it. So what I'm saying is that we create our own realities, and therefore if these end times are what everybody wants them to be, okay, or imagines them to be, then they might be. But if everybody thinks differently, it'll affect people very differently in different ways. Some people
it's not
will,
might be, they will be, Leo.
People
might
will ascend through this process. Others will denigrate or descend.
We don't know
descend.
That.
Well, no, depending on what they want to do. It's all individual, you know?
Well, how do you know? You don't know what they're going to do or really what's going to happen. Just that
well, only,
there's
only
going to
by,
be a change.
Yeah,
personally,
yeah.
I think all you need is love, like the Beatles.
There you go.
All you need is love. Love, money, and everything else that goes with it.
That's where Jesus comes in.
This world.
What?
That's where Jesus comes in. A
yeah.
Christian belief.
All you need is love. You really.
That's right.
And compassion for others and a little wisdom thrown in, as Sakyatrism told us.
Yes.
And you got everything. If you have love and you have wisdom, that's all you really need.
If you have compassion and wisdom.
Yeah.
Compassion doesn't necessarily mean love.
No, that's what I mean.
Right?
That's,
but compassion and wisdom are, I mean, you can have mercy for someone and not love them. You just,
can you not love them? Come on.
Well, I could never see myself loving George Bush. I could never see
yes, you could.
I'd admit love for that man. All right?
But you could have compassion for him.
I can't even have compassion for him.
Oh, I could.
I could see the guy stretched out on a rack, in a torture chamber.
That's
just like he did guys in Abu Ghraib. And under his authorization. I'd love to see the bastard waterboarded, 180 times like he did to Sheikh Mohammed there.
Yeah.
All right? I'd like to see him do that. I'd like to see Cheney with his goddamn defibrillator go underwater for, 20 minutes.
Oh, tell him what happened with him that he was paid off.
Oh, yeah, Halliburton paid off $500 million to keep the son of a bitch out of jail. All right? Because Nigerian government had indicted him and wanted his ass through Interpol. All right? To come and get him, for him to stand up for trial, because he bribed the Nigerian officials by $180 million to get contracts there, and now they just then they settled on Halliburton. I don't know if they settled on it, but they offered the Nigerian government $500 million to keep Cheney out of jail, right? Yeah. So
that was interesting.
Yeah. Anyway. So anyway, all these sons of bitches, George, I have no mercy for them. I got no compassion for that kind of thing. People that kill and maim and destroy millions of lives and walking around selling fucking books, get out of here, These guys should be in tune somewhere, alive, under the worst possible freaking conditions, right, for what they did to people.
The mistake that we made as a country was not dealing with that, was sweeping...
Well, that's what this country does. We sweep all the
dirt under the rug.
Yeah, I mean, we sweep all this stuff under the rug because all of the major corporations are making big dough on it. All right? I mean, all these
and
criminals.
And that's how you get
banks,
changed by making an example of people who are war criminals
and
dealing with
instead,
them.
You're not doing that. I mean, the best thing that could have happened to this country is put George Bush in a lineup. All right? and shoot the bastard along with Cheney. That would have been the best possible thing for this country.
They should have been tried before the Senate
and with no rights, just the rights of everybody else. They gave the guys in rendition, which were no rights. Strip these bastards of all their rights, okay? Just like they did to the guys in Guantanamo, all right? I mean, these guys are nightmares.
That's why they've been indicted
these
as
guys are demons.
Okay, Leo. That's why they've been indicted by other courts as criminals.
And Christ didn't have any love for demons. He expelled them. He got them out of the people, all right? You know, sent them into pigs, and they all jumped over the cliff, okay?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but Christ had no love for these demons. He had no love for his persecutors. He knew what they were, okay? And so, you know, none of these guys had love for their killers, okay?
Yes and no, Leo. It's hard to say. It's truly a passion, I think, of what he did.
You're going to have love for that son of a bitch? I don't think so. I don't think so, George.
Let me finish if I can.
It's through
the understanding that it's through that passion that Christians have compassion for other human beings. You know, it's like...
Christians have so little compassion. These conservative Christians, they're the ones that are supporting the wars, the tortures, the George Bushes. It's the biggest hypocritical bunch of freaking religions I've ever seen. All of them compiled together. All right? I mean, tell me, give me one God-loving person who you know, Christian person who isn't for war. All right?
The Quakers aren't for war.
Oh, the Quakers. Okay, Okay, the Quakers. All right. I'll bet you go to any of these conservative evangelicals or anything else, and you ask them about George Bush, or ask them about the war, you ask them about, you know, what do you feel, and they'll all say, "Oh, God bless the soldiers, been kissing all in the ass." Okay, you know, and that's about the extent that you get. It's not get out of the war or stop this or these guys are all criminals. No. You know, everything from these conservative, Republican, Christian crazies, all right, are all pro-war, pro-kill, all right, yeah, pro-Israel, all right. It's just a nightmare. So I don't know, George. As far as I think that a lot of the poopah, you know, Christianity is a big lot of hypocrisy, right? And,
if I can continue on, I'd like.
Aren't really Christians. They're just compassionate people. Right, and Christianity is just a mask, you know.
Well, you know, it's like everything else. We've had very great leaders like Jesus and Buddha and Muhammad.
Yes.
But just because you follow that person in name doesn't mean that you're living the way the example.
No, but Muhammad was chopping people's heads off. You know, he was in there. Going in, and you know, his followers were being
If I can continue just for a few minutes,
yes. Now he believed in self-defense, and then he instructed his people to conquer by the sword, basically. Okay, so they did, and then it grew into a great religion. But Christ, he conquered by people dying, basically. I mean, it took 300 years of Christian persecution, okay, before Constantine realized, hey, if I make Christianity the entire religion for Rome, then all the Roman people will be passive.
That's right.
They'll be passive and mopes. They'll be humming around, praying. We chop everybody up. You know, we can take over all their land, and they'll just sit down and pray. All right, so this is what Rome was considering when they had this mind-boggling conversion, which was bull. All right, he knew what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing. Okay, by taking over and putting somebody in charge. Okay, putting a pope in charge of a religion was like, you know, come on. All right, the first thing the religion, the Christian Bible says is, "Thou shalt have no Lord, nobody before me." And what do they do?
First they throw in Christ, and then they throw in the Holy Spirit, and then they throw in a Pope, all right, and then all the saints, all right? And then they make statues of them all, okay, put them in the town square, all right, and then bless the pigs, bless the goats.
And the
cars. Bless the cars, you know what I mean? And it's like bless the Ferraris like that. I mean, these guys are a mockery to any kind of sanctity. I mean, this is like a joke, you know? I mean, how can anybody with any sense, okay, believe in Catholicism? Holy cow, all right?
Well, that's why they've got so many members.
But, you know, but
hey, I'm Christian.
A billion nutballers out there. Christian doesn't mean Catholic, George. You're not a Catholic, all right? I mean, I mean, if anything, Luther, the big thing with Lutherans, which is what you are, was, you know, to get rid of the damn Pope.
You've been ranting on here for about 10 minutes.
What's that?
You've been ranting on here for about 10 minutes.
Hit my hot button.
This is a happy occasion, Leo.
Yeah. Well, look, we've got 45 seconds before we lose our stream.
Don't believe the light of the world.
Find in and rant along with me.
Yeah, but you just ruined it. You ruined what could have been a nice show into made it vitriolic.
I loved it. I don't care. It was emotional first.
Understanding the concept behind this Christo or this Jesus guy you're talking about is that it was a way for people to bring God back into their heart instead of their brain. And understand that's the way it was in the Old Testament and so forth. Everything was linear. It was a law. You know, you did it this way, you did it that way. There was no room for any changes.
We got
now, Jesus guy comes around in a sense where it says, no. You got to think about it. You know, whatever you feel about it, that's right. You don't have to take an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. But, you know, you have another choice. And the choice that he offered was that he can connect you with the Father source. And that's what the Christian people understanding ascension. Ascension is not only believing about Jesus, but having that Jesus live in your heart or ascending to your heart, where your heart is connected to God the Creator, instead of a mental creator. So the only thing it does is just connects you with the universe, through the heart, the emotions, not the mind. And this is a direct connection. And we've talked about this. The body, the heart, is connected with the outside world, but the mind is not. So if nothing else, he just showed a way that could be used. That doesn't mean it's the way. It's just a way.
Everybody says go through him. Okay. Why do you have
right, use him. That's
why?
Right.
But that's bull. Why do I have to go through Christ or through Buddha?
Look at it this way.
Go
to your higher self. Go to your higher self. It's the same purpose.
So, I mean, I don't need to go to some pope to bless my ass. I don't need that. Okay, like Ted Kennedy had to bless his fat ass. That's ridiculous, George. You know, I mean, to me, the Pope is the most useless piece of...
We're not talking about the Pope.
No, but to have...
We're not talking about...
Will you let me finish? To have anybody in the middle between you and God is a sacrilege. That to me, is what it means. That's sacrilegious. That is like you're going against all what the Ten Commandments said and what God's first commandment was. Thou shalt have no other God before me. No idols, no nothing, okay? And what do? The first thing they do... Oh, they deified Christ. Christ wasn't a deity. He was a man, okay? He was a teacher, all right? But what happened was, let's make him a god, and that way we can make a pope, and by making a pope and a god, we can pull us all together, and we can be gods ourselves, just like the Egyptians did, just like everybody did. The pharaohs became gods, all right? So I don't need...
Well, the kings became gods.
And God, I don't need that. I don't want it, and I'd go to my death saying I don't want it. All right, and that's the way I feel. Well, the whole world is forcing it on me. Everywhere you turn, somebody's moralizing and telling me that I got to go through Christ or go through Muhammad or go through Buddha or go through John Lennon or go through some other.
You don't have to.
You know,
you don't have to look for God. He is in you. You don't have to look anywhere.
Best
part of you is we're all part of the Creator. He created all of us.
I agree. But what I'm saying is you go through the Creator. Don't go through the Creator's Creator.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right? I mean, it's the like there's no sense in that to me.
No, it's just shifting the energy fields of the body from one chakra to another, and understanding that you're bringing the chakra energy up to the heart, and that's all you're doing. You're just raising the vibration, raising the dimensional reality, the physical reality that you're experiencing.
Maybe,
and this is
getting to the level
ascension.
Where you there's going to be some. You know, if you believe that you have to go through Christ or through some
you
prophet,
can use that. You can use it. It's just another tool that can be used.
This is what they're telling you. This is what you've been indoctrinated with throughout your whole life. All right.
Well, of course. It's just like this is the game we play on this side of the tracks. On the other side of the tracks, we don't play that game. But that's all right. It's the same game being played with different figures. That's all. But it's the same thing.
It's just like salvation.
It's the same game as playing to Christians.
There's only one connection. I mean, if you look at all
right,
the prophets,
that's right, Leo.
Everybody's
got their own way.
They didn't have any middleman. You know, they were the middle. They were centered in God. Okay, all your mystics were centered in God. Okay, immediately. Okay,
one of us has that same ability if we used it.
There you go, dear.
You're right, if you use it. But people are lazy. They won't use it. They want
everything done for them.
They think it's better to get some holy water on top of your head each week and that thing, everything that you, you know. Come on. You know, take a little wafer here and a glass of wine and, you know, go home. You know, and that's such a crock, you know.
I think I was remembering back last week about the different popes. We're going back from, you know, 1200, there was so much corruption. In fact, some popes were married, a lot had illegitimate children, and that's the way things were way back then. But, you know, it's gone through a hell of an evolution, you know, with the popes.
You remember Lucretia?
Lucretia Borgia.
Lucretia Borgia was the pope, somebody's pope something or other. No, it was his daughter.
Daughter?
His illegitimate daughter. Who he used as a spy kind of thing, and she would poison too. She had a special ring, a poisonous ring, where if he needed somebody to assassin, she would seduce him, boom, and assassinate him. These are the popes. These are the original guys. You know,
there's a lot you can say, even with the Jesuit priests and so forth.
Their time is
coming, and just like the Catholic Church,
it's ready to pop.
They pay a lot, and they're going to pay more.
It's just going to fall. And then where are people going to go? Hopefully they go directly to God and don't have to worry about these middlemen. All right?
I've never understood why people think that someone else has more of a connection than they could possibly have.
Exactly.
Why would that be better than yourself talking to God?
Yeah.
That's my own opinion also.
Or a child. A little child has a better connection to God than
That's right, Leo, but understand that everybody has the right to have their own way. And if they believe that, that's fine. That doesn't mean that you have to believe it, other than everybody has their own choice, and they can think whatever they want. They have the right to do that. So, you know, there are many Christians out there, believe me, and they're all quite different. But understand the concept is that it's all basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, it's just
like I used to say when I was in business years ago that, you know, you can dazzle your customers, but understand your main objective is to drain the swamp, money in your pocket. And I'm not saying that organized religion is money in your pocket, but a lot of people are making money out of it. And understand the true nature of Christianity, church, is not a building on a corner. It's the people. It's the people that make it up. But it's the people that connect to their heart, not to their mind. Of course, they meet to their mind, too. But it's the connections. The church is the heart. And the heart is the ticket here. And the only thing is that Jesus, in a sense, is a man that you can relate to because you're human, that he sits in the conducting seat in your heart. And he's one of the direct connections to the Father, to the Holy Spirit. And this is the way it's worked out. But this is using basic physics in the world of threes.
Because we
live in a polarity world. And
I agree with the Christ.
It's threesome.
It's like, who needs it? You know, it's like, why do I have to go through him? You know, I don't have to.
But you can, that's all.
In fact, I do. I do.
You go your own way. Everybody, what George is saying is that people are entitled to their own way. You maybe your way is your way, my way is my way, George has a way, and so do others.
Well, if that way is the way to war and death, hypocrisy, cheating, then if that's the way, I don't want anything to do with that way.
You
don't have to, Leo.
But that's the Christian way. That's the
Christian way, but there are many Christian ways.
From the Mormons to the morons, it's just forever. And there's more and more power control and more you know, pedophilia and all kinds of crazy things going on in there, in these different organizations.
Polygamy, that is true, Leo. But they're also But there are also a lot of people who are connected to some of these organizations who do very good works, who are very good people. I happen to agree with you that, you know, they haven't recognized their own internal connection that they have.
Yes.
And I think that is sad.
I do too.
As opposed to the way George thinks about that. I think that's sad if you don't realize that you have a great connection inside you to the greater one and to that greater thing.
Like with me,
but it doesn't mean that there aren't some very excellent, very good people in these organizations, and they are.
Fine.
And I don't want people to think that.
I'm saying, you know, I'm not saying everybody's a schmuck. All I'm saying is that they don't need this crutch, okay? And Christ said that, and people still don't get it. He said, you don't need me, you can be like me, all right? That was his word, you can be me, all right? I'm not a deity, I'm just a guy. You can be like this, and you can have these same powers.
No, he went off and cast the first stone.
Nah, he's God, he's God. No, he said outright, I'm not God, you know?
Yeah.
And yet they insist on making him that. So it's like, I don't know, George.
And that happened many years after his death.
Yeah, and then they celebrate Christmas, you know, and everybody gets
together. Let me ask you, what are you guys doing for Christmas? What are you going to do?
I'm going to hang
out,
get drunk.
No, we aren't. No, we're not. We're going to be home.
Open some gifts.
Open some gifts and have a nice meal. Christmas Eve we'll have, you know,
a nice Christmas Eve. I love a big dinner,
and then Christmas Day will be more relaxed. And then the next day we go to Leo's family. What are you doing?
Well, you know, Christmas Eve, I think we're going to have some of the family over, and of course my daughter's up from the island.
Nice.
And, you know, we go to church and open a few gifts. And there on the Christmas Day, I think you just sit around, open gifts. You know, about 1-2 o'clock, have some brunch or whatever, and just take it easy.
It's
going to be a nice, relaxing Christmas. I hope to be. That's it. I'm really looking forward just to take it easy and relax.
Yeah, and be with family, right? That's always the nice part. You get to be with your family and in a really relaxed way and share a nice
couple
meal.
More logs in the fire. Oh, I love
that. Yeah, nice. That sounds very inviting.
I live in a log cabin house, and I have a beautiful fireplace, you know, with a wood-burning stove insert in it. And, you know, like, that heats a good part of the main house. And it's just nice.
Yeah,
my wife and I could just sit back and have a nice hot toddy or a cup of coffee and relax.
That sounds very inviting.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this thought. Back when I was a kid, my family used to drag us up to mass, the
midnight
mass. Yeah, and I lived in kind of a small town. Everybody was Catholic there, though, but it was like, you know, and the church put about 500 people, maybe. And the church was loaded, and you had the singers and everything, and I used to laugh my ass off. Okay, once I got to be a young teenager, I started laughing about it. But when I was younger, you know, all you did was sleep through the thing. But what made me laugh later was that I realized I wasn't the only guy.
I try to keep my eyes open. Everybody, guys next to the radiators, every half the place, half the guys were sleeping. Half the people, only the women had their eyes open. They were kind of dazed. But most of the guys, were all just totally dozed off. All right, it's kind of like sitting in an office.
It's those hot toddies before midnight service, But a midnight service.
Right, but it made me laugh because, it just made me laugh, and I never forgot those services.
Well, it's part of a ritual, and that's the way.
It's a season. It's what it's all about. It's togetherness.
Well, you know why they didn't put cushions on pews, right?
Why is that?
For years.
To keep you awake.
They made them very uncomfortable. It was because that was the only way to keep people awake through the service. That's why the Catholics had the kneeling plate, too. That's why everybody had to kneel through the middle of it, so they would wake up,
And stand up and sit down.
Things were just to exercise yourself so you don't fall asleep or wake you up.
Well, it's
amazing. Amazing, But
you take from it whatever is best for you, and I think that's what you need to do, and then you need to not give up your own responsibility to your creator by giving that responsibility over to someone else. You need to take it yourself.
I agree.
But it doesn't mean that you can't enjoy some of the rituals or
be part of
some of those things and just don't be lazy about stuff.
But that's all part of the co-creation factor that we dealt with, and that, we're co-creating our existence with God, with the essence, with the cosmic presence, with that universal mind. But
it's also with family in giving emotional gifts or giving something from your heart. And that's what this time is all about, touching.
The tradition of Christmas is nice where you're giving things and it's a swap thing and it's happy and, whatever. But that's a nice tradition. I'm not against that tradition because it's a nice time to celebrate that. But
homage, though.
Is the
Christ for...
Well, myth thing, it just annoys me. I can't, it's something that I know isn't real, but the rest of the world insists that
maybe
it is.
Well, for other people it is, my friend, and you can't take that from them.
No, I can't. But they can't push it on me, and don't start wars.
They're pushing it on you.
Well, they are, George. I mean, they are because every dime, 50% of what we shove out in taxes every year goes to the military. Okay,
but Leo, have your hands on your controls. You could turn it on and turn it off or turn it down. It's not somebody else's that's working the controls. You have some control over those controls.
Do you know that the guys who are the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Pentagon top elite, guess what? They are all involved in a Christian cabal. All right, they all believe they're there and they're chosen and they're going to be the crusaders that are going to, annihilate the Middle East. Right? And
you don't get a baby out of the wash water, Leo.
And there blesses each one of them every day and they kneel down before him and pray.
Mm-hmm.
There's a schmuck in the Pentagon, some chaplain there, who gets, these guys believe that they are the chosen elite that are going to, that they're at a holy war against the Muslims. That is their
reality.
That's their reality, and that's why we're there, and that's what's going on. And this is the kind of crazy kebabs that are destroying our planet, destroying our world. And what do we do about it? Well, pray to Christ like everybody else does, which is the
guy. I don't think they're destroying our planet.
What's
I think
that?
Mother Nature has everything under control here, and I think before the government takes over, martial law and blah blah blah. I think Mother Nature has something in store for us. And, this bullshit is one that is definitely something's going to happen. There are other things that could happen in a heartbeat, and that's raising the waters of the earth around the world 200 feet. And these things are in the making right now with the geological disturbances that we're experiencing. There's a piece of rock in Antarctica now. It's like 400 by 600 miles. It's about to break off and float away. And as it floats away, it melts. And it can create a water level on this earth that will bring it up, drastically, from 100 to 200 feet. believe that.
Well,
it's real.
So water is nice and purifying, and maybe that's what we need. I know maybe you and Leo want to continue arguing and talking. I want to go with one nice thought that maybe if we're really fortunate, we'll have a more peaceful 2011. That's what I'm hoping for than 2010 has been. And that all of the people on this planet have a better life in 2011 than they've had in 2010.
Yeah.
I believe
that's
it will.
That's what I'm hoping for next year. And I'm
that would be wonderful.
Would be a wonderful thing. I would love to turn on the television and see there is now peace everywhere in the world, and people have enough to eat and enough to drink and clothes on their back. That would be a nice thing. That would be
wonderful.
You know
what you could do? You can do that yourself, and you could put it on your own TV, and you could watch it to your heart's content. Because you can do that yourself.
We'll make a video that says everything is happy and wonderful and nice. It will show young, healthy, little fat kids and everything, you know.
No, I want them young and healthy and not fat.
Oh, well, they're well fed. All right.
I'm going to say I do with you, my dear. And, Leo, I want you to find some peace in your heart, my friend. You're all riled up. Enjoy
your
holiday, Lila.
Right,
I'll be in touch with you,
and
my dear. But God bless your holiday. And peace be with you.
So anyway, I got peace. I got peace in my heart. But
my friend.
I don't have any compassion for these kind of clowns, and I don't have any tolerance for their stupidity. It's just beyond me. So you know, you're going to be at war with these kind of people. You got to accept the fact that you can't win. You know.
Yeah.
And the only way you can
war.
Win is by, you know, total faith in the fact that you and your creator are on the same terms, and they just keep walking along in life. And I mean, that's basically what I do. I mean, I get pissed off, but at the same time, I get righteously enraged. I mean, things just tick you off, you know. So and people won't listen. Very, very difficult time for people to listen. They just have a problem with that. They've been taught this stuff all their life, and they refuse to listen to anything different, even though it's, you know, it's all over them, and it's crapping all over them, and they just don't see it. So, you know, you go along, and then they join the military and see the world and get shot up, you know, and it's a tough world right now. One thing, when you were drafted, it was another thing, but but to join up and have that kind of problem, I don't know. Did you get drafted, or did you enlist, George?
Excuse me?
Were you drafted, or did you enlist?
No, I was drafted. But you know what? You know what I believe? I believe what Joseph Campbell believes. That heaven is not something at the end of life. Heaven is the journey there. And, Leo, I have to say that I have been on a hell of a journey with you for the last 4 years. And, you know, for the last 10 years, it has been some journey. And I'm enjoying myself immensely. But, you know, it's like everything is happening so damn quick, and there's something always new around the corner. And, you know, it amazes me. It amazes me what I see and what I believe, because my thinking has changed, and, you know, my whole life around me has changed. But, you know, I believe that my heaven is what I'm experiencing right now. And what happens after I die, that's a different story. And I got to say goodnight, my friend. It's getting late.
All right. No problem. Have a good Christmas. We'll talk to you next week sometime. Okay?
Okay, my friend.
Have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, God be with you.
You too, pal. Good night. And I want to thank everybody for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. I know I got a little off the wall there, but we do that once in a while. And I want to thank George and Lila and everybody who joined us tonight, and I hope you have a pleasant weekend. And good night.